Being kinder to myself meant looking in the mirror and not looking at my lower belly and be like, I hate you, you know, or like, my arms are flabby today. Why do you look like that? And I'm gonna go punish myself and do more hours at the gym or like eat even stricter. It was looking at my body as simply a vessel and realizing that right now, what I need is to pay attention and nurture my inner self.
My butt is too big. My butt is too small. I freaking hate my thighs. I absolutely hate my tummy. My legs are too damn muscly. My legs are freaking too skinny. I need to add some muscle. I must lose some weight. Now, I'm guessing one of these probably resonated with you. Why? Because guys, sadly, most of us have this negative self-judgment. Shaming ourselves every time we walk past the mirror just becomes normal to the point where we don't even realize we're doing it. And what's even worse is it's become so normal that we even say it out loud nonchalantly to our friends. But what if I flipped the opening statement? What if I replaced my with your? Your butt is too big. Your butt is too small. I freaking hate your thighs. I hate your tummy. It's horrifying, right? If you heard someone say that to someone else, you would be freaking mortified. It's outright mean and just downright cruel. But yet, that's exactly how we treat ourselves. So, how do we learn to talk kindly to ourselves? How do we make improvements without tearing ourselves down? Well, lucky for us, today's Woman of Impact is the absolute perfect person to help guide us. An award-winning fitness instructor, entrepreneur, and personality, she is the genius behind the juggernaut Pop Pilates and has been featured everywhere from Good Morning America to Dr. Oz and People magazine to the New York Times, as well as grace the cover of Health magazine. With a newly released fitness collection in Target, she is the creator of Blogilates, the number one female fitness channel with over 5.5 million subscribers on YouTube and close to 835 million views. So guys, please welcome the fitness queen herself, one of my favorite homies on the freaking planet, Cassie Ho.
So excited to be here.
Welcome to the show. Oh my God, I've got so much to talk to you about, and where I'm gonna start is a very, very powerful quote that you said. From a very young age, I linked people liking me to my weight, and my weight to my success, and my success to my happiness. I hated that my body was a source of my unhappiness. All right, girl, I wanna start there because people may see you as this, you know, extremely beautiful, really fit fitness influencer. And what I think is the most powerful is that you've gone through your own journey. Mm-hmm. And through your own journey, you are talking about it and showing that it's not easy no matter who you are. So talk to me about recently you went through a transformation, if you will. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about what actually started that and then how you dealt with it.
Okay, so back now 2 summers ago, I was at this business and marriage retreat with Sam. And it was during that retreat that I kind of came to this realization that I was no longer being myself. And for the past several years, I've just continued to mold myself into what I wanted, what I thought other people wanted me to be, so I wouldn't upset anyone, I wouldn't offend anyone, and I felt like I had lost my voice. And I told him, I wanna do something that is probably gonna upset people, but it's going to make me happy because I need to get back on track with being very intense with my life.
Because you weren't intense? You stopped being intense?
Well, here's the thing. I feel like, and I can trace back how this all happened too. So after my bikini competition in 2012, and that's like super intense, right? You're super into nutrition, super into fitness. Then I let my body heal because I had a metabolic damage. And during that period too, I was also getting really into body positivity and really learning to love my body as it changed in shape, you know, going from super crazy lean to now a little bit softer and everything. And so I think I began to get more, I was kind with myself in just healing, eating foods that I hadn't eaten during my competition and things like that. And also, it kind of cultivated an audience where it was like, it's okay. If you don't feel like working out today, it's fine. And it, like, I think that's good. But I think my brand started to turn into that. Whereas naturally, I am a very intense person. When I want something, I will do whatever it takes to get there. I mean, you're the same. And I wanted to be more of that. But I felt like anytime I even showed an inkling of that, people would be like, whoa, 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 like that's too much. But that was because of the audience that I started to build while I was healing from my fitness competition journey.
So you just said something, so you were started to be kinder to yourself. What does that actually look like?
Being kinder to myself meant looking in the mirror and not looking at my lower belly and be like, I hate you, you know, or like, my arms are flabby today. Why do you look like that? And I'm gonna go punish myself and do more hours at the gym or like eat even stricter. It was looking at my body as simply a vessel and realizing that right now, what I need is to pay attention and nurture my inner self, my skills, my talent, what other things I can give to the world that isn't my body. That was being kinder to myself.
Dude, that is so powerful. And I just want to go a little bit deeper because here's the thing. It sounds great, right? And it's like, I want to be kinder to myself. But so many people have had years and years and years of looking in the mirror and not being kind. So once you make that decision, how do you actually then put it into practice? So think about people at home right now that want to change. They look in the mirror, they're always just negative about themselves. They realize it's not doing themselves any good. So they're like, all right, I've heard Cassie, I really want to like change. And the next time they look in the mirror, habitually, you just, those negative thoughts come to you. So how did you actually break that?
Okay, so there were some tactical things that I did because during my competition, I was trained to step on the scale every single day. And so if that number didn't go down, or if my lean body mass didn't go up and my fat percentage didn't go down, then I was doing something wrong. So I had really gotten into this routine of like, the number is depicting how hard I'm working. So once I decided to heal and not do that anymore, and the weight was going up, that number was just too much for me. So I literally didn't step on the scale for a few years, which is a good thing. However, it gets to a point when you realize it's not that you threw away the scale because you had power over it. You threw away the scale because you're scared of it. And how I actually found my confidence again was having a very specific purpose for my journey and working so hard to get there. And so my original journey, I guess tagline you call it, was to get in the best physical and mental shape of my life. Like, ever, like, not even comparing to when I was on the varsity tennis team in high school or any other time, or even on the bikini competition stage. Now is when I wanted to do it. And it wasn't just going to be about the body, it was going to be in here too. Because, like I said, I was crying because I didn't know who I was anymore. So I wanted to be me so authentically. And I didn't care if I was going to lose followers, because who cares? Are they running my life? Like, no, like, it's nice to have fans, but it's not nice when they don't believe in you. So when I announced that I was going to do that, I shared all my stats. It was a storm, and I got some of the worst comments ever saying, you are a shame to all womankind, you are a hypocrite, and like all this terrible stuff. It was really painful, but at the same time, it was fine. It was like, it was the shedding of what I was no longer.
Dude, that's so powerful. And the reason why I really want to talk about this is your story is, it's universal in the sense of the issue itself. Now, of course, you're doing it on a center stage, right? You're doing it in front of millions of people. For a lot of people, it's your mom, it's your partner, it's a friend, it's something like that, where some people don't necessarily want to see you change, right? Where it's,
oh, a lot of people don't want to see you change.
okay, so you had decided, I want to be me. And so with that, then came a lot of backlash. So how did you then pass through all the backlash to not let it derail you? Because so many people allow other people's opinions to dictate how they should feel about themselves, what they should think about themselves. So how did you do that and stay true to, I still want to change? Because that's the thing, right? It's like some people may be, no, you're fine the way you are. Now, there's that element of, I'm fine the way I am, but I actually want to improve.
Yes,
so
yes.
So how do you juggle that and go, actually, no, I do want to improve, but still, God, love yourself as you are.
Yeah. The, you know, there's a camp of people who believe that if you want to change, it means you don't love yourself.
Right.
And that just, no, that you can do both, because in loving yourself, you want to improve yourself. And for me, I'm the type of person that if I don't see progress, if I stay stagnant, that is my unhappiness. My happiness is in growth. So I need to constantly be changing. And I think that if you set a very strong goal and realize that at the end of the day, your happiness matters more than making other people happy, then it doesn't matter what they think. And it took me a long time to get there. On that car ride to the airport, I broke and said, I am no longer myself. So once you realize that you are not being authentic to yourself, it doesn't matter what other people are saying, because you have to take care of your happiness first. Because without your happiness, you can't give to other people anyway.
That's so true. I want to talk about the scale, actually. So you did a video that was so powerful. I've watched it like 5 times, just so you know. It like on repeat. So you've got 4 stages of relationships that people have with the scales. And it was so impactful to me when I heard you break them down. So I'd love for you to do that with the audience and us go deep on it now. So I want to go through the first one. The first one is the non-existent relationship that you have with scales.
Okay, so non-existent for me lasted probably from age 0 to the moment this other kid pointed at me and said, why are you so fat? Literally, my weight had nothing to do with anything in my life until that moment. So that is the non-existent relationship.
Very where people simple. Just don't even
It just doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter, which would be nice.
Wouldn't it? Okay, and then you got the second relationship, which is the abusive relationship.
So the abusive relationship is the relationship that I think a lot of young girls get into, where you step on the scale and if it's lower, it makes you happy. If it's higher, it makes you sad. And I had, oh my gosh, so many years of my life wasted on this, where if I stepped on the scale and it was higher than I wanted to be, I would curl up in fetal position, just cry for about 10 minutes. Like, that's how much power the scale had over me. So that's what I would call abusive.
Yeah, girl, I so relate to that. It made me dictate how I ate that day.
Oh yeah.
And how much water I drank. If I step on at what time of day, and did I just have a sip of water? Is that gonna make it, oh my God, I've got socks on. Like, it became just so all-encompassing.
Right, right. And that is not what you want, because in the abusive relationship, you let a number control your day. How stupid is that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is, and so natural that it's scary that so many of us do it without thinking about it. Like you said, I did it for years without consciously realizing that I was putting myself down. Like, at the time, it almost felt like I was taking control. I'm stepping on the scale and I'm going to be able to try and control that number, right? And it was a weird, unhealthy relationship with it, where looking back now, it was the most abusive thing. I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you said abusive.
Yeah, definitely abusive. So you have to break out of that.
Right, so then your third relationship is the breakup.
Yep, there you go. So the breakup is when you toss the scale or you put it in a closet, you don't look at it for a while. I think this step is so necessary and so empowering. I want people to get to step 3. Step 4, I think, is going to take a little bit more time, but we're going to hang out in step 3 for a second. Because the moment you take something negative out of your life, because you do see it as a negative thing, you are able to fill that space with something else. You can focus on something else instead of stepping on a thing in the morning and feeling bad about yourself or feeling good about yourself. Now you have the mental capacity to focus on your skills, your talent, and all the other amazing things that are happening that are not your weight. So I highly suggest that anyone going through an abusive scale relationship, they need to take the scale out of their life until at some point they can see the scale again simply as a tool, not as something that can tell you if you're gonna have a good day or a bad day. And that's gonna take a long, well, it could take a long time or it could take a lot of work to get there. And for me, it took me a few years before I could step on the scale again and feel like this is just a data point.
Oh, I wanna go down down that road on what the work was. And I just want to point out, I did exactly the same. Mm. So it got to the point where it was running my life, and it wasn't until my health completely declined and I, you know, had massive health gut issues that I was like, right now, I just need to be able to eat. Forget about how much I weigh. Yeah. I just have to consume food because I couldn't consume the food that I was eating. So I was just withering away, as you know. And so that was actually the catalyst for me throwing the scale away. Mm. Now, I actually look back in hindsight and go, thank God I threw the scale away. But it took me that extreme of a health thing to force me to do it, to then see how unhealthy it was. And throwing it away to me was the most important thing that I did. Now, here's the thing. I haven't picked it back up.
And you don't have to.
So getting to step, to
getting to step four is not necessary. I think getting to step four only matters if you need to use a scale and you don't want it to have that power over you. So
I'm gonna, before we get to step four though, I want to talk about still throwing it away. So what about the people that throw it away and then become unhealthy because they're not necessarily holding themselves to anything? Like some people almost held the weight as a health thing, right? So let's say you throw it away. I've known some people that threw it away and then went and ate McDonald's and Ding Dongs for years and years because they're like, wow, you know, I'm free. And you freaking flip all the way over to the other side.
I have so much to say about that because I think it's balance, right? So I think it is really important to be able to have your McDonald's when you feel like it and not feel bad about it, but also understand that when you go overboard in one direction, it's gonna come back to bite you, okay? Like I think McDonald's and eating ice cream and milkshakes, it's really fun. For me, that's like soul food. It makes me really happy. But the truth is, when I eat too much of that, my skin breaks out, I'm bloated, my run times aren't as fast, I'm weaker. Now, is that worth it? Like, if you don't care, then cool. If food makes you happy, that's fine. But for me, my health is so important. We've got mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, physical health, right? And so you can indulge a little, but not to the point where it's gonna break you in other areas of your life. So I think a scale is one way you can check and, you know, stay on track. But if you don't like the scale, there's measurements, right? There's checking if your clothes still fit. There's also, I mean, just doing a mental check. Like, do I feel good? Do I feel strong? Are my runs getting faster? Can I lift heavier? There's so many different ways to check your progress. But I personally feel like it's irresponsible to say, like, I'm just doing whatever I want because I love my body and like whatever, whatever. And then you just don't feel good. That I think at some point you're going to have to realize what is feeling good, what is happiness and what is health for me. It's going to look different for everyone, but you just can't fake that eating McDonald's every day is going to be healthy for you because it's not.
I love that you just said, what is happiness and health to me? Mm-hmm. And that's such a powerful question. I think almost everyone needs to kind of start from there. Mm-hmm. Because like what you were saying, you were assessing your energy, your runtime. And these are all things that are important to you. Now, other people, it may not be important, right? But if it's important to, let's say you've got kids and you want to like be around for your kids, can you chase your kids around the house? Things like that, like identifying what is important and then how your health is hindering you from doing that importance. I think it's actually a really great driving force. Mm-hmm. In fact, tell us the story of the one and only time you were on set doing a fitness video and you had to ask them to stop.
Oh my gosh. So this was the moment I knew I had to change things. So for everyone watching, anytime you see me doing a YouTube video workout, it's 100% of the way through. There are no breaks. Every time you see anything, even if there was like a close-up shot, that's a close-up shot taken during the real workout. I never take a break. And because I'm a trained group fitness instructor, you're supposed to perform the whole time. So you don't stop. So this was probably like 8 months into me healing from my metabolic damage, eating like whatever, like pizza, fried chicken, noodles, like literally whatever. And I had to film, I think it was like this fat burning cardio or something. And I was getting so out of breath that I had to be like, okay, can we take a break? And I just felt like it's gone too far. Like the scale was gone, but that video showed me you are no longer in like optimal physical health. This is your career. Like you need to take care of yourself. Like I don't care about how my belly looks, how my arms look. You can't even finish your workout. Like I don't want to say it's a shame, but a little bit, right? Like I should be so in check with my health. So it was from that moment that I realized I need to begin finding the joy in my workout again, the joy in my food, and just healing in a different way. Mm-hmm. I think being able to let go and eat whatever you want is really important during the healing of metabolic damage, because you just don't even know what's going on. You got to calibrate. But again, the definition of happiness and health is going to be so different for everyone. It was during that video that I was like, I can't do that anymore.
If you own your own business, when an employee leaves your company, whether on good terms or bad, it can feel, I hate to say it, but it actually can feel personal, like you and you alone are the one to blame. And it actually may even trigger you to lock down your business, not open yourself up, and not actually risk trying anyone else. Like you actually would your heart after a bad breakup and avoid looking for that new partner altogether. Well, let's face it, sometimes we can do that with hires as well. And trust me, guys, I've been there. I get the thought of bringing in a new stranger into your business actually fills your heart with more anxiety than it does love and joy. But when you post your jobs on LinkedIn, you can actually feel the confidence that you will find the right person for the right job fast, because LinkedIn isn't actually just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion with a B professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. Because guys, it gives you access to professionals that you actually can't find anywhere else. And so LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive, which then makes hiring with confidence easy when you have that many quality candidates. And it's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get qualified candidates within 24 hours. So post your jobs for free at linkedin.com/Lisa. That's linkedin.com/Lisa to post your job for utterly free. And of course, terms and conditions always apply. As an entrepreneur, one of the biggest challenges you will face is a negative voice in your head. You know who I'm talking about? That maybe not so small part of you that loudly doubts your abilities to actually pull the things off and make a living from your passion project. But you gotta overcome that negative voice in your head, homie, because I'm telling you, you can do it. Especially if you use Shopify. Now, Shopify is an all-in-one global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From launching your business to hitting $1 million, Shopify has got you completely covered. And with all the built-in Magic AI award-winning customer service and the internet's best converting checkout, you have everything you need to shut down the voice of doubt and make all your amazing business dreams a reality. That's exactly why, guys, I love Shopify. So if you want to start growing your business with more customers and sales, shut that negative voice down and prove her wrong that you can do it, Shopify is here for you. So go and sign up for just $1 a month with your trial period at shopify.com/Lisa, all lowercase. Again, guys, you can go to shopify.com/Lisa right now to grow your business, no matter where you are and what stage it's in. That's shopify.com/Lisa.
That's why I love that, like, what you said, because if everyone can identify what that actually is for them, and then every day say, are you moving towards it or away from it? And at what point have you gone too far? So for you, it was having to have that moment of out of breath where you're like, okay, I've gone too far in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So now talk to me about relearning everything and then actually figuring out how the hell you love your body just the way it is and push yourself to be better. So what was that stepping stone?
It's a really complicated jigsaw puzzle, right? Because when I got to my bikini competition level, I was so lean, and then I loved what I saw in the mirror, but something inside me was always like, it's not good enough. Like, it's never good enough. Like, so even though looking back, I'm like, wow, I was in such great shape. The day of my competition, I still saw my lower belly as fat. Like, I just didn't like it.
So you had totally slipped into body dysmorphia.
Oh, totally. 100%. Also was scared of food. Like, it was just bad all around, emotionally, mentally, physically, and everything. So I had to practice, what does it mean to love my workout again? Because when I was training for that competition, it was 4 hours of working out a day, like 2 hours weightlifting, 2 hours cardio. Yeah, for 8 weeks straight. And it wasn't that long, but it had such a huge impact. I mean, I'm still talking about it. That I lost the joy in my workout because I was working out just for physical vanity. And that cannot last. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I worked out because it made me feel good. Like, I walked into a studio, I taught people, they felt good, I felt good, we spread that joy, and I had just lost that feeling entirely. And, you know, having to film workout videos while gaining weight on YouTube, that also made me lose the joy in my working out because now I was being judged for the way that I look. And I couldn't even do my workout properly. Like, it was just bad times. So what I had to do was try different things. And at that time, Sam was like, you just seem so unhappy. You should do something that makes you happy. And I was like, oh, I don't want to weightlift. I don't even feel like doing Pilates. He's like, why don't you dance? And I was like, dance? He was like, yeah, you love dancing. Go back to dance. I hadn't danced for so many years. He bought me a 5-pack to a local dance studio. Literally, I had so much fun. I was sweating. It didn't feel like a workout. And I was like, this is what it's supposed to feel like. This is what it's supposed to be. And that is what got me on the right track mentally. So I think for anyone out there struggling with, you know, their body image, with their fitness journey, because you just feel purposeless, try to seek what makes you smile, because that is going to be the key with everything.
God, I love that. Okay, so take me, keep going down the journey of how you then transition to your 90-day
My 90-day journey. Okay, so metabolic damage happened, kind of started to heal it, so that was all good. And then just 2 summers ago, I decided I'm going to get in the best physical and mental shape of my life. So I wouldn't have been able to do this had I not gone through the healing, though. There's right. no way okay. I could have gone from bikini competition to 90-day journey. I would have been so messed up, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't have gone into that journey with the right intention. Mm. It would have just been physical again, which is not where I wanted my head to be. So going into the 90-day journey, I said I was going to blog every single day, because part of this was going to be about that therapeutic healing as well. And I love writing. I've been a blogger since forever. And those years of being online, having people tell me who I should be and who I shouldn't be, actually stopped me from blogging at all. I used to blog every single day, 7 days a week. It was like my diary and it felt so good. And as the years came on, I think there were months I did one post a month because I was, anything I said would be like judge so hard, and I let those judgments control my actions, which is not where I want to be, right? I'm the CEO of my life. I should be able to do whatever I want. And so in this 90-day journey, I was going to blog every single day for 90 days.
And these were all the intentions you wrote out?
I wrote them out, and that's a really important thing. When you go on any type of journey, you have to write out your rules so that you stay in line. And I think it's really important to be very strict and rigid with yourself so that you know exactly where you're going and how you're going to get there. However, one thing that made my journey so successful was that it started with the rigidity as structure, but I, from the beginning, said I was going to allow flexibility.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. How do you do both? Because I'm sure there are moments that you're not always going to be perfect, and the pressure of being perfect almost then takes you back to...
Exactly. Yeah. You have to allow flexibility, because you can start with what you think is going to work, but that's not going to be the reality, right? So like, I started off my journey being like, okay, I'm going to go keto, because I had never tried that before. And it was working for a little bit. Then I just noticed I was so dehydrated and I was getting these crazy headaches, and I was so slow when I was running. Like, just, I just didn't have the feel that I needed for my type of body. So then I tweaked. I said, okay, we're going to take out the dairy, because I'm lactose intolerant anyway. So why am I eating dairy to begin with? I'm eating too many nuts. So we're going to do a little bit less there. Let's add back in fruits and more vegetables and things like that. Then I started to feel better, and I just kept tweaking and tweaking until the results started changing the way that I wanted them to. My body fat percentage began to go down. My weight started to go down. And there were moments where I plateaued, and I wrote about it. I wrote about how frustrating it was to like be so meticulous about everything I was doing and it's still not working. But that's your body. It doesn't go in a straight line. It goes up and down and it plateaus.
Okay, so in those moments, how did you then though not allow it to make you go back in the corner and cry yourself for 10 minutes versus just you journaled and you stayed on track?
It's part of the journey. You can't keep going forward all the time. There's going to be times when you step back a lot and then you go forward more. Like, it's just part of it. And these challenges were amazing because they helped me get more creative. They're telling me, Cassie, it's not working. Figure it out. And so those moments forced me to change my diet, forced me to change my workout, and just try different things, or being like, you're probably not sleeping enough. Why don't you try it this week? So it kept it exciting, actually. There's always something new to write about, something to experiment. And I was like, I am not going to give up. I said I'm going to go for 90 days. I am going for 90 days. And at some points, I was like so tired to be like, 11:30 p.m. and I hadn't blogged for the day, but I was like, I'm going to do this because I promised I was going to do it. Mm. And so it just kept me really in line with a routine. And I was just determined to like get in the best shape of my life. I was just going to do it.
And so once you got to the end of the 90 days, mm-hmm. how did you feel? And how do you avoid slipping back? Because that's mm-hmm. a big thing as well, yeah. is that there are so many people that yeah. just fluctuate their entire lives. So how have you been able to sustain that? And I don't even want to pressure you mm-hmm. in thinking, who knows what's going to happen next year? Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to happen in a couple of years, right? There may be issues that arise for me, you, whoever. Mm-hmm. But right now, how have you been able to stay on your path?
So I've been on this path now for over a year. It's probably been a year and 3 months since the end of my 90-day journey. And honestly, I was a little bit afraid of being like, okay, if I don't be this intense the whole time, right. am I going to slip back? And there are people saying like, okay, Cassie, so you went 90 days, but how are you going to like maintain it? And the truth is, after doing something for 90 days, you've built an actual habit. Like, I wake up now, the first thing I do, you know, after getting ready and stuff, is I go run, then I do some weightlifting and Pilates in my home gym. And that's how I start my day. There is no question, there is no other way that I start my day because I feel so good. And it's that feeling that I'm chasing, that I want, because without that feeling, it's gonna affect the rest of my relationships, my business. And I have to tell you, Lisa, like after my 90-day journey, something magical happened mm-hmm. that came from within here that has affected everything around me, but my business has never been better. Like mm-hmm. everything has just been growing so much. And there's this confidence inside me that I've never had on this level. Like I am no longer afraid to stand up for myself, say things that might cause controversy if I believe in it. And that's just not who I was. I was raised mm-hmm. to be a very obedient girl, listen to everyone, don't upset anyone, just put your head down and just be passive. I'm no longer that person. That person doesn't exist. And it came out of my 90-day journey, which most people think was, you know, a weight loss journey or fitness journey. Yeah. It was so internal and it has done so much for me that I'm so grateful that I went to that retreat, broke down and decided to do this thing, went through the fire and the controversy, and then here I am. It's just been incredibly magical.
God, that's yeah. so amazing. It's such a testament and a great example of how, you know, I opened the intro with people just, we look in the mirror and we just insult ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that spreads, in my opinion, it's like poison. It seeps into everything you do. But the second you change the framing of that, to instead of looking in the mirror and hating yourself, to go by how you feel. Mm. What can I do? What can I eat? What exercise can I do to make myself feel better? Because anyone that is now looking to make a change, it's like, how do they make a change for life? This isn't a like, I hope they watch this and they get, you know, they lose some power. Like, wait, no. This whole thing is about how on earth do you accept yourself, freaking love yourself, and still push yourself to get better and be better mm-hmm. for your own sake. And the fact that you did it, and now it's reflected in everything you do, your confidence. Guys, if you want confidence, rewatch this episode. Like the amount of people that say to me, how do you get confidence? Mm-hmm. It is you beautifully just broke it down for them of confidence in yourself, but your business, mm-hmm. your relationship. Mm-hmm. Like that's so beautiful.
It's incredible. When you are able to set a goal and then just allow yourself to get there. Like, it sounds like so basic, I suppose, but it's about not giving up, because it's the moment when you almost give up, but you don't, that is when the magic happens. You just have to keep going. And if your why is strong enough, right? My why was to get in the best physical and mental shape of my life. I wanted to find who I was again. If it's strong enough, you will get there. Maybe it takes a little bit longer than you thought, but you will. Just don't give up.
Mm. Yeah. How did you then, just through that journey, did you have any moments where you were either comparing yourself to other people? Mm-hmm. Because obviously I know, you know, we've spoken many times on like the comparison is thief for joy.
Yeah.
So how have you dealt with comparison?
So the comparison thing, I totally understand on many different levels, and I'll get into it. But I do want to say that when I did share my body weight, my body fat and everything, people were really upset because they were saying, oh, but I weigh more than you. Should I feel bad about myself? Because you want to change and you're, you know, 20 pounds less than me. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm trying to be so authentic, but you are taking this information and turning it in a bad way for you. And so for those viewers, I literally was like, look, if this journey of mine isn't serving you right now, you should probably unfollow me because I am just going to keep doing this and I'll serve you when this is over. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, there was that part of the comparison. But in terms of Cassie currently comparing herself
before
to people,
you go on, that was really powerful. Because that's the thing. You don't want to make other people feel badly, but yeah, you can't let other people's emotions dictate how you behave.
So you just have to know what your intention is, right? My intention was to get in the best physical and mental shape of my life and find myself again. And for me, my guidelines were putting it out there so that I would be accountable and so that I would know how are my numbers changing every week. Numbers was just one portion of it. There was so much else going on. But I needed accountability on that level too, because as a fitness person, I'm going to use fitness as a healing tool too. So that was really important to me.
So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were going to go into the next step.
So during my 90-day journey, I don't remember comparing myself to other people because I was so focused on and in my own lane. So that was fine. But just as a person, I compare myself to people all the time, actually. But I do it in a purposeful way. Like I'll compare myself to a role model that I have and being like, what steps do I need to take to get there? And definitely, I will get into places where I'm like, oh, why does she have this? Or she looks like that. It's not fair. And then you just have to be like, stop. Just stop. Why? What good does that do when you're running a race and you keep looking behind or to the side or over there? Focus in your lane. That's how you get to where you want to be.
And you literally just tell yourself, just stop.
Well, I complain a little bit to Sam and he tells me, can you stop? And I'll be like, okay, fine. But I do have to like, I think it's okay to like, let those feelings out and just be like, they're here and not pretend like they don't exist. Because I think that's toxic too. Realize that they're there and realize that you don't want to feel that way. And then work on getting rid of that feeling. I think jealousy is one of the most toxic negative feelings ever. And any moment that I begin to even feel like a smidge of that when I'm comparing myself to someone, I need to be like, stop, stop. What are you doing? Stop doing that. It's kind of like a little slap on the wrist.
Yeah, it's so powerful what you just said there, that you can, some comparisons are so powerful. Like to know, okay, I'm comparing myself. There's so much further ahead of me. Like I don't allow it to make me feel badly about myself.
Yeah.
It just shows me a guide. And that's actually really interesting to say, well, when you're comparing, is it making you feel badly about yourself or is it motivating you?
And I think you have to make that choice.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a camp of people who say, who want to act like a victim. We've talked like this before. And they're going to let it make them feel bad. Or you can choose to let it motivate you. And I'm on the side of people who's going to choose that as a free guide for how I can get there. And I love that you can look at people as inspiration. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
How did you then, during this journey and after this journey, now it's been, you know, a long time, the fact that you've been able to really stay on track because you found your why, because, like it's so fantastic how you've laid that all out. The one thing I want to touch on is there are, I'm sure, moments where you've allowed yourself to indulge go off. How have you now allowed that to be a positive, giving yourself grace to do that without slipping back into it and bouncing back? I know that you said it's about feeling, but how do you not get then obsessed? How were you allowed to give yourself grace in certain times?
So I have definitely indulged. I got into ice cream making. And it's interesting because the quarantine has been cool in a sense that it allowed me to dig into passions I didn't even know that I had, which apparently is making ice cream and baking cookies. Like, I didn't know that. But yes, obviously, it makes it really hard to stay on track, right? But you just have to find what that balance is in your life. So when I'm feeling like I need some soul food, I need meditative time in the kitchen, because for me, baking and cooking is so meditative. I don't do traditional meditation. For me, it's these simple motions of creating something. I don't even need to have a podcast on or even music. I am just so happy, like, making these things for hours. I just go by, if I feel like eating something or if someone's birthday is coming up or whatever and I want to deliver cookies to my friends, I'll just, like, make it and I'll indulge a little. But I know what I'm getting into. That's the thing, right? I don't eat a cookie or a burger or whatever and being like, all sad the next day when I'm bloated and my face is broke out, I make a conscious decision to be like, I'm going to have this or I'm going to have three of these. And this is a choice. So when you give yourself the power to make that choice and you own that choice, there is almost no slipping back because you know that that was going to bring you happiness in that moment and then you're in full control of that. Also, because of my 90-day journey, and I took so many meticulous notes on how every certain type of food made me feel and how many hours of sleep made it optimal for me to, like, you know, do whatever. Now when I feel a little bloated the next day, I literally know the formula to get myself back in either 2 days, 3 days, 1 day, depending how much I ate in the wrong direction. It's not scary for me because slipping doesn't mean slipping forever and not knowing how to get back. I know my body so well, and I recommend everybody, you know, at least for a period of time, journal what you eat, journal how it makes you feel, what's going on, digestives in your body, your energy and stuff, because it's no longer going to be a mystery. I feel like the whole weight loss industry, fitness industry, nutrition industry, it kind of makes you feel like if you don't do this specific routine or you don't eat this way, you just never can get to your goal. That's not really true. You can start with a rigid plan, but you have to find your own flexibility to find what works for you. And it took me 90 days to figure out what works for my body, which is going to be totally different than your body, Lisa, than anyone's body who's watching this. But it's so golden to be able to take that time and figure it out for yourself. Like, I literally know exactly what every type of food will do to my body now.
Ooh, yeah. That's amazing that you've evolved so much that you've gotten to that point. Mm-hmm. And I love that you were saying, you know how things affect you and mm-hmm. you know what you need now. So if mm-hmm. you just want some, you know, soul food, you go yeah. and make yourself some ice cream.
Yeah.
I assume then the voice in your head then isn't negative and isn't tearing yourself apart that you ate it.
It's not negative as it used to be. Yeah. I think there are some times when, you know, you let yourself overindulge a little bit, maybe more than you even wanted to, and then you get a little more bloated than you wanted to, but it's not the end of the world. And for me, it's like, unless I have a big shoot coming up or a big workout that I need to do, then everything's fine. Mm. Like, we're all fine.
You've said so many incredible, powerful things. And so I really want to, like, tie everything up on, like, someone's listened to this. Okay. They're about to start. Would you suggest they go on a 90-day journey where they're journaling everything? Like, what actually can people do to get started?
Okay, to get started, you need to come up with your why. This is the most important thing. Why are you going on this journey? And this why needs to be so strong that when you fall off track or today's workout was too hard or you had the ice cream and you just, like, feel terrible, you're going to look at the why and be like, oh yeah, I remember. It's going to be fine today and tomorrow. That's the most important thing. Secondly, like I said, write out the rules of your plan. Mm-hmm. Like, I plan to eat like this. I'm going to avoid this. I'm going to work out every day at 8 a.m. Like, be so specific. And then number three, just allow yourself to be flexible and try, if your original rules didn't work, allow the rules to change. But you do have to set out some rules. Otherwise, you're kind of going to be lollygagging all the way around. Like, you just have to have some of a clear direction. And write it all down. You have to write down what you're eating, how you're feeling, how it's affecting your mood and your digestive system. Like, all of that, I think, is so important because that allows you to unlock the mystery that you think is your body. Mm. But really, you're going to be the only person who'll know that the best, because you've been so detailed about your entire journey, which is your entire story. So that's how I would suggest getting started.
Girl, and they can also watch your videos where you've basically been journaling this. So let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, I mean, if you actually want to read every single one of my 90 journal entries, they're all on my blog, blogilates.com. You can actually see how I'm changing, like, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally through those 90 days. I know a lot of people start reading it almost like a book. Mm. But if you want to work out with me, you can download my free app, Body by Blogilates, and there's calendars and programs in there and challenges. And again, the key goal is to find the joy in whatever you're doing, be it fitness or your food or your career. Just let it make you happy, because that is the most important thing.
I love that. Guys, go check out this woman. There is a reason. This is her third time on the show. She's one of my closest friends. She's no BS. She tells it exactly how it is. She's very open with her struggles and the things that she's gone through. So guys, as a guide, go check her out. Go check out her blogs. She's freaking amazing. And she now has a line in Target.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
Come on. How can people find it?
At all Targets in the U.S. It's the end cap of the fitness aisle. Although I think we're going to sell out even before the end of this month or something. So who knows if it'll amazing. Still be there.
Guys, thank you so much for watching. If this episode did bring you value, please do share, subscribe, put in the comments below what was the most impactful thing that Cassie said today. And until next time, guys, be the hero of your own life. Peace out.